Alrighty, well, welcome to another evening, Sunday evening with Zion's Trumpet. Brother Daniel, yours truly. How's everybody doing this week out there in Pow Talk land? How am I? Good. Thanks, Sissy. I'm doing pretty good. Anybody have anything on their heart before we start right off tonight? Alright, well, it looks like we have I had a request here to do a song. Okay, I'll try and sing it. Let's see. When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround me become shadows in the light of you. When I found the joy of reaching your heart, when all my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround me become shadows in the light of you, then I worship you, I worship you. Cloud is the cloud of glory is moving. The cloud of glory is moving. Move with the cloud. Move with the cloud. The cloud. Oh, you know what the cloud of glory is, right? The tabernacle of the tabernacle. The cloud of pillar by day and the cloud by day and pillar of fire by night, right? The cloud of glory is moving. Move with the cloud. Move with a cloud. Let your spirit arise and your strength be renewed. Come, let us move all together as flies away, Father, where he leaves, new life we will receive. Move with the cloud, move with the cloud. The cloud of glory is moving. Move with the cloud, move with the cloud. The cloud of glory is moving. Move with the cloud, move with the cloud. Let your spirits arise and your strength be renewed. Come, let us move all together as we follow where he leads. New life we will receive. Move with the cloud, move with the cloud. The cloud of glory is moving. Move with the cloud, move with the cloud. The cloud of glory is moving. Move with the cloud, move with the cloud. And let your spirit arise and your strength be renewed. Come, let us move all together as we follow where he leads. New life we will receive. Move with the cloud, move with the cloud. Let your spirits arise and your strength be renewed. Come, let us move all together as we follow where he leads. New life we will receive. Move with the cloud, move with the cloud. The cloud of glory is moving. Move with the cloud, move with the cloud. The cloud of glory is moving. Move with the cloud, move with the cloud. Your spirits arise and your strength be renewed. Come, let us move all together as we follow where he leads. New life we will receive. Move with the cloud, move with the cloud. So let the temple be filled with his glory, and let the courts be filled with his praise, and let us worship the Lord in the Holy of Holies. Zion rejoices again. So let the temple be filled with his glory, and let the courts be filled with his praise, and let us worship the Lord in the Holy of Holies. Zion rejoices again. So let the temple be filled with his glory, and let the courts be filled with his praise, and let us worship the Lord in the Holy of Holies. Zion rejoices again. Let the temple be filled with his glory, and let the courts be filled with his praise, and let us worship the Lord in the Holy of Holies. Zion rejoices again. And let the temple be filled with his glory, and let the courts be filled with his praise, and let us worship the Lord in the Holy of Holies. Zion rejoices again. One more time. So let the temple be filled with His glory, and let the courts be filled with His praise, and let us worship the Lord in the Holy of Holies. Zion rejoices again. Alrighty, who's up? Judy, go ahead.
Okay. Hi, Dan and everyone. I hope everyone's had a good week this week and they're overcoming in your lives. And that's our desire and our goal is for us to be overcomers. A couple weeks ago on my way home from my little job on Sunday, the Lord just kind of quickened to me a short testimony that I'd like to share tonight. After listening to your testimonies last week, I knew that I was to wait to share this, and so here goes. Okay, I wrote it down, so I'm just going to read this. I'd like to share a short testimony of what's been happening to me since I have come out of the church system. It's been about 3 years since I left the church. Harold left a few months before I did, although he had left in his heart much earlier than that. My main reason for not feeling free to go was because I was under the lie that if I left, I would be in disobedience and rebellion to the Lord. I believe those, and many people have said this, and it is in the scriptures, but I didn't understand really what it meant for my life. But I believe those that said, if you didn't attend church, you would be forsaking the assembly of church, or in assembling of yourselves together with believers. Well, this caused me great confusion and conflict within. Church had become an idol in my heart. Until I realized that and let God, by the Holy Spirit, remove it from me, that idol, I was not free from its influence and its pull. I'm sure all of you have heard this too, that anything that you can't or aren't willing to give up is an idol in your life. And truly, I found that that was true in my life. Church had become an idol. Since then, I have come to see and believe this is one of the lies that causes many, possibly multitudes of believers, to be deceived and trapped in the system. Consequently, they will never come into the overcoming walk and miss the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I know that we have experienced more fellowship, encouragement, and relationship with our brothers and sisters in this room than we ever had in all the years attending many churches. The Word of God says we're to know one another after the Spirit and not after the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:16 says, know one another after the Spirit and not after the flesh. 1 Corinthians 12:12 exhorts us that there are many members, but one body. What you all have shared with us in this room has fulfilled that scripture in Ephesians 4:16, in which Paul said, each joint fitly joined together supplies what the body needs. We love you all in this room and in this family, and are also grateful that the Lord has worked in this awesome supernatural way to bring Dan into our lives, and through him to come to know all of you. Dan, you and your family, as well as Zion Trumpet Fellowship, has truly become family to us. Jesus said, my mother, brother, and sister are those who do the will of the Father. You have all become family to us, as you have shared your commitment to the Lord with us freely. Thank you for all your transparency in sharing your lives with us, and we love you all. God bless everyone.
Amen. That's a good testimony. Thank you for sharing, Judy. Praise the Lord. Everybody who loves you too, I'm sure. Good testimony. Amen. Okay. You want to share yours, Kim? Go ahead.
pardon me a little bit because I've had bronchitis for the last 4 days, but I'm getting better. I'm just going to read this and do the best I can. You guys all inspired me last week and I decided to write down my testimony, and there's parts of it that are shameful. And I repented before the Lord about the shameful parts of my testimony, and I haven't been wanting to share it. But it is what it is, and the Lord has brought me out of all of that, and so I'm just going to read it and put my trust in Him. Once when I was driving in Anchorage, Alaska, I heard a radio broadcaster say that Alaska is naturally and spiritually a cold and dark place. As I thought back on my childhood growing up in Alaska, I realized that was very true. My childhood was a nightmare roller coaster ride through alcoholism, drugs, abuse, violence, and unwholesome situation after unwholesome situation. I did pray every night as my mother had taught me to pray, but the God I prayed to was not the God of heaven. My mother was an unpracticing Catholic and had dabbled in other religions, including Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses. After my grandmother died, I asked my mother if I could talk to my grandmother. She said that I could ask God for permission to talk to my grandmother, and I did. And I talked to someone that really answered back. I even heard church bells one time, and my grandmother told me she had to go and that she would talk to me later. I did not know until later when I met Mom and Dan that I had been talking to a demon. My mother left my father for another man when I was 3. My father was a drunk and abusive, but the man she left him for was no better. And later I would find out in a very personal way he was much worse. 3 years later, he would go to jail, and my mother would end up in a mental institution for a while, addicted to prescription drugs. A few years later, my mother met another man who was also an alcoholic. He had a desire to live in the woods and build a log cabin, so we moved from Homer, Alaska, to a place in rural Alaska called Kenny Lake. It was a community about 80 miles north of Valdez, Alaska. It was considered the bush, but still situated on the road system. When I was in 7th grade, my parents decided to stop drinking alcohol and using marijuana. That was a decision they made at a crucial time in my life that saved me from becoming an alcoholic myself. Previous to this, I had always been allowed to drink wine and champagne on the holidays, and once consumed peppermint schnapps at school. If they had not condemned it as wrong, I would have continued, I'm sure. Public school is the perfect place to get a sin education. From this point, my parents were very restrictive of where I went and what I did. Besides going to school and working long hours in the summer at our family business with my mother, my defiant and rebellious nature was kept in check by their strict regimen, but it still boiled under the surface. I had been allowed total freedom as a child, and now as an adolescent, I resented being controlled. When I was around 20, I rebelled and got myself into a worse situation. I shamed my parents and dragged their and my reputation through the mud. I ended up pregnant and married to one of the local Indians, who was both religious and alcoholic. He believed that everyone is going to have one final chance to repent for their sins after the Lord returns. So he lived how he wanted, and all my attempts to stop him only made him do it more. I was stupid and stayed with him for 3 years. He was controlling physically, mentally, and through religious means. I understand now that he believed in ultimate reconciliation, once saved, always saved, and Calvinism. Someone finally told me that if I did not get away from him, that I was going to end up dead. I couldn't bear the thought of my 2 daughters being left alone to that hellish Indian culture. I prayed for God to deliver me. I was not a Christian at the time, but the only way I would leave him would be if he committed adultery. So one day, he called me from Anchorage and talked about how he wanted to make everything better and go to marriage counseling. I asked him point blank if he had cheated on me, and he surprisingly admitted that he had. I was so relieved inside, and told him that I was no longer interested in staying in the marriage, and that I was divorcing him. Because of the documented domestic violence charges that occurred during our marriage, I was awarded 100% custody of my daughters. I am grateful to that judge unto this day for that provision. In Alaska, the court system many times shows favoritism to the Alaska Native tribes, so in a legal sense, it was a great victory. By the time I was 25, I was married again and had moved to Delta Junction, Alaska. There I met Mom and Dan. They invited me into their house for fellowship. I professed to being a Christian, but as they would soon see, I did not live like one. Oh, sure, I was self-righteous and did not drink or smoke. I went to the Baptist church and thought I was born again. My second marriage did not work out either. Shortly after my husband left for basic training in the Air National Guard, he said he wanted a divorce. It was entirely my fault, and Mom and Dan warned me I better change the way I was living, or I would end up in hell. I had never heard someone say that and really mean it. Somehow, for the first time in my life, I knew that it was true. When Daniel gives you a word from the Lord, it is next to impossible to not know it is 100% the truth. I was expecting Mom and Dan to reject me entirely, but they told me that the Lord had put a love in their hearts for me, and that Jesus wanted them to help me. I had never heard anything like it. These people, who had nothing to gain from helping me, but rather would endure hellish burdens and battles, bringing me out of my personal darkness for the next 7 years, wanted to help me. Separating from my family, natural family, was not very hard for me. I had pretty much severed the ties before I had moved to Delta Junction anyhow. The next battle was my children. For the first few years, I had spoiled them rotten. They were so bad that once a lady who watched them for me one day swore she would never watch them again. On top of this, they were possessed with demons from me and from their father's Indian culture. The Lord revealed to Daniel and I separately that my firstborn was born completely possessed. From day one, she had never known one day of freedom. Mom started receiving burdens from the Lord for me to correct my children. At first, I did not want to do it, but the Lord showed me that if I did not, I was disobeying him and also idolizing my children. Reluctantly at first, I started correcting them. Then the battle was on. I started seeing the demons that the Lord had warned us about being manifested. My oldest daughter would stare at me with black eyes and with a hatred no human could muster. For 6 months, the Lord led me day by day through the battles, and Mom would call me for support. Finally, after 6 months, I started getting the victory. It would take 5 years before I was able to maintain the victory. And Mom and Dan stuck by me the whole time, many times having to tell me the same things over and over again, as I would come under my children's spirits again and again, because they were idols in my heart. Today my children are well behaved, for the most part, but I must still be diligent in correcting them, although it is much easier now. In 2003, Mom, Dan and Pam and Barry were leaving Alaska. I begged to go with them. I could not imagine being left alone there. There was nothing left there for me. Having the soft hearts that they do, they allowed me to come with them. I left Alaska without telling anyone from my former life that I was leaving. The Lord told me to do that. Surely all the relatives that had nothing to do with me and my children would be used of the devil to keep me in bondage if I told them I was leaving. It is funny how that works. After we moved to PA, my mother called the troopers in Alaska and told them that my new Christian family had kidnapped me and my children. She said I had joined a religious cult and they were controlling me. So the Lord told me to return to Alaska, to my mother's home, and to defend his name. So after much anguish and begging the Lord not to send me back, I drove back with my children. I was completely terrified. I had never driven across the country alone, and I was possessed with a demon that disoriented me and made me get lost easily. It took me some time to overcome that one. Daniel wrote me directions on how to get all the way back to Alaska, step by step. I clung to that paper for dear life. All the way back, it was my most prized possession. My mother was glad to see me and hugged me when I came in. She stroked my back in a creepy way and spoke lustily about how much she missed me and that she was so glad to have me back. I let her know that I had left Alaska because I wanted to, and the Lord had told me to come back. She was so glad, of course. Excuse me. And she knew that God would never want me to be away from her and the rest of my family. Of course, that was the devil speaking. I stayed with my mother for about a month, and during that time was fellowshipping at a local Pentecostal community that opened their worship times to the public. She was against me going there and said that the people there were a bunch of hypocrites. She said they were not real Christians, but I kept going anyway, because at the time that was the Lord's will. My mother started questioning the way I dealt with my children, but I told her I had to do what the Lord had directed me to do, which was not to spoil them. She defiantly went against all of the things I asked her nicely not to do, one of them being to not give them junk food every day. She persisted and got angry with me and asked me if I thought I knew better than her mother and she did about raising children. Mom, or Annabelle, tried calling me at my mother's store, and my mother did not tell me she called. My mother also did not tell me about a job opportunity someone had called her with for me, and a couple who had called and had had a place they were willing to rent me. By the time I found out about the rental and job, it was too late. I bought a cell phone so that I could stay in contact with Mom and Dan, who were my lifeline. I did not want to do anything that was not the Lord, and the devil was using my mother to try and cut off communication between me and my Christian family. I confronted my mother about these things because there was a demon behind it all. She got angry with me and told me I was causing problems and to get out of her house. I asked her for a few days to find another place to go, and she said no, that she wanted me gone that day. My stepfather came down to make sure I was packing and said they wanted me to leave, so they could have peace in their home again, and because I was too religious. So with all our stuff packed into my little car, I drove away with my children, shocked that my own mother had put me and her two grandchildren, out on the street. I had been offered another job at the school, and the teacher who wanted to hire me had a rental we could stay in. Later we moved into a warmer place, because that was a summer cabin, and it would later be dubbed, the cold cabin by my girls. For 2 more years, we stayed in the same community where my mother lived, and I worked at the school I had graduated from. The whole time, I lived 3 miles from my mother's home and business, and she never showed any interest in me or her grandchildren. Also, my ex-husband showed no interest in visiting the girls during those 2 years. I visited PA each summer and finally, in 2006, the Lord gave me leave to move to Pennsylvania. But my freedom would not come without a fight. My ex-husband filed papers, with the court in Alaska to have me forced to return to Alaska to live in the same vicinity, so that he could have visitation rights. Mom and Dan helped me through this battle as well. I hired a lawyer in Alaska named Moshe Kalberg Zareya. He was a Jew who had actually been converted in Israel and baptized in the Jordan River. I filed a counter-motion asking permission to stay in PA and was allowed to attend the hearing by phone from Pennsylvania. The judge allowed me and my children to stay in Pennsylvania. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Now I was free and with the family that the Lord had given me. I had been brought out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Okay. Thanks for sharing, Kim. That's a testimony for some testimony. A couple of things I didn't even know about your childhood. Well, God's good, and he delivers those who he sees deep down in the heart want delivered. So he knows how to deliver them. Amen. Anybody else have anything to say or share before we start off? No? Okay. Well, like I said, I didn't have anything really long tonight. I wanted to do something on binding and loosing for K-Men's, even though I know K-Men's ain't going to be here. He said he was going to be away this weekend. But he can just do it on the audio. So I sort of did this for you, K-Men's, just because you mentioned it, and for myself. And actually, you sparked my mother's interest this week. She asked me, what does that mean, that verse, anyway? What does that mean now? Now you think about it, what does it mean? So I thought I'd put together a little something here. I had some of this down on my own personal study, just sitting on my computer, just to have it if somebody ever asked me. And I forgot where it was, so I had to find it. And I got out and redid it and added a few things to it. So I'm going to go through this passage about binding and loosing tonight and give you my view. You take or leave it, you know, before the Lord. You see if you get a witness to it or not, whatever. Well, we're going to start with the passage here itself. It's in Matthew 16:13-20. Matthew 16:13-20. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, say that I, the Son of Man, am. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now, of course, this is one of the most controversial passages in the whole New Testament. You're probably all aware of the fact that this is the primary passage upon which the authority of the papacy rests. Roman Catholic theologians have always wrongly translated the meaning of Jesus' words here in order to make the Apostle Peter and his descendants the foundation of the church and the ruling authority over it. And unfortunately, in today's modern spiritual warfare movement, they have distorted this passage beyond all recognition as well. So before we begin, I want to say in the strongest possible way, right here up front, that the binding and the loosing Jesus refers to here in this passage, I believe, has nothing to do with binding or loosing spirits in individuals, groups, or over geographical areas. Okay, binding and loosing, as you'll see, I believe, has to do with permitting and forbidding things among believers. But before you get to the meaning of what Jesus' statement means there about binding and loosing, you need to look at what transpired just prior to what he made that statement, okay? First of all, there's the issue of the Greek translation of the words Peter and Petra, okay? So Jesus first asked the disciples who the people and the leaders of Israel said he was. Then he asked the disciples who they said he was. And Peter answered, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 16, right? The Lord responds and says, you are Peter. Peter. Peter is Petros in Greek. It means little rock. Petros means little rock. And they, Jesus goes on to say, and upon this rock will I build my church. Now, the English term rock, the second term rock, that's a Greek word petra. It's not the same word. And it means a very great rock, a big rock. And that's, I believe, is a reference to Christ himself. Now, all the Lord was trying to say there was that Simon Bar-Jonas was a little rock. He became a little rock because he heard from the Father, Peter, and he was being built upon a very big rock, Petros, which is Christ. It was a play on words. That's the way I see it. It was a play on words. Simon Bar-Jonas became a little rock when he heard directly from the Father in heaven, and Jesus was the very great rock, the Petra, who actually came from heaven and was part of the Trinity. This very great rock would build his church not on Peter the person, but on the ability to hear the voice of God. It will be built on the relationship that develops between God and his people, and Jesus is the foundation of that relationship. It's Jesus who gives us a hearing ear and a seeing eye. If we follow him, we will see and hear spiritually. And what we will hear is the voice of the Holy Spirit, who is also part of the Trinity, and who is sent by Jesus to speak of the things of Jesus and show us the things of Jesus. So the people who think Jesus was saying he's going to build his church on Peter, the person, they're wrong, of course. Christ is the great rock, the Petra, upon whom the little rock, Peter, was being established. Christ is the rock upon which all the disciples were being established. God is the only rock upon which his people, including the New Testament church, are built. This is taught throughout the scripture very clearly. I'll give you a little scriptures, a few scriptures here just to confirm this. Deuteronomy 32, verses 3 through 4, verses 15 and 18. Deuteronomy 32 says, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Verse 15, but Jeshurun, that's another name for Israel, Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Verse 18, that beget thee, thou art unmindful. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. 1 Corinthians 10, 1-4 says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers, that's the Old Testament Israelites, the fathers of the nation, were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Ephesians 2:19-22. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. 1 Peter 2:5-7. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, wherefore also is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone. He's a rock. Chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believeth he is precious, but unto them which should be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of a corner. And last one, 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which has been laid, which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Okay? Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation. He's the foundation of our faith. He's the cornerstone of God's eternal temple. All right? All the Lord was trying to get across to Peter that day was a reality that he was about to establish the New Testament church, and that he himself would lead it. Ephesians 5:23, would always be with it. Matthew 28:20, and the gates of hell, that means Hades, the grave, would never prevail against it. The church will continue to exist until the end of the age. It may be hounded, it may be persecuted viciously, but it's never going to die out. Jesus builds his church on himself first, and then on that relationship he develops with us, our ability to hear his voice. and be led by a spirit. That's what Peter represents in all this, the Petra and all that. He represents a hearing relationship with God. He represents God having a relationship with his people through the Son, and then being able to hear him and be led by his spirit. Now, you'll notice when you read that scripture that we read first, that the binding and the loosing are closely associated with receiving the keys, the quote, keys to the kingdom, okay? The Lord said to Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And from this we can understand that the power to bind or loose is the result of receiving the keys to the kingdom, okay? It's the result of receiving those keys. Anyone who has been given the power to bind or loose has been given those keys, because that's what the keys are for. So you can turn to Matthew chapter 18 of your Bibles. I'm going to read 1 through 3 and 15 through 18, verses 1 through 3 and verses 15 through 18.